All right. Hey, good morning, church. We're glad that you guys are able to join us this morning as we jump into week three of our Rethink Christmas series. For some of you who may be new to us, Rethink Christmas is really the time that I've become super thankful for as a part of this church. And it's this time that we come to where we really try to strip away some of the selfish nature, the commercialized nature that we get thrown in our face all the time about what Christmas is supposed to be, and bring it back and point us into ways in which we can partner with other people in bringing Jesus into the lives of the people around us and around the world as well. 2 weeks ago, Keith started us off in this series, and he talked about the Bible Project and the ways in which they're bringing to life the Bible in places all around the world to help move the gospel forward. And he challenged us to do whatever we can to be a part of that movement in generous ways by the way we live our lives out. Last week, Tyler and Scott came up here, and they talked how we can partner with Samaritan's Purse and the Brown Box Project. And we got to see some of the cool things that they are doing to really reach some of the most unreachable places in the world, simply by filling a brown box full of stuff. And the gospel is included in that, which is awesome. And this week, you guys are stuck with us. But don't worry. They have thought this out well. Chuck is going to be preaching next week, and he will clean up whatever we mess up today, yeah. All right? So we're good. We're really excited to be up here today as a student ministry team. To my right over here is Justin Brunk, and he works with our elementary kids. To my left is Stephen Mayfield. He works with our high school kids. And I'm Jason Southward. I work with our junior hires. And today we're going to be talking about something that we're extremely passionate about. And that is the responsibility that all of us have collectively in shepherding the next generation.
Yeah, and just to be clear, he did say everyone, and he did mean that. It reminds me of a conversation I had with a gentleman years ago when I was first starting out in student ministry. Typically, it doesn't happen all the time, but frequently enough that when people find out like what we do, they tend to take that as an opportunity to unburden themselves with the frustrations they have of the next generation, and which is fine. But in this particular conversation, this guy, as I'm sure many of you have felt at times, he was very frustrated with the next generation. He was just not satisfied. He was discontent. He didn't like the direction that things were heading, and he just said, inevitably, who's at fault? Just trying to oversimplify it. You get there, you've been there when something's out of your control, you just want to like shrink it down as much as you possibly can and point a finger at it to say like, who's responsible? I just want to blame them. Now, I know that self-control is a gift of the Spirit. I just don't know if it was being produced in that moment. Because I said to him, when he said, who's at fault, who's responsible? I said, well, you are. And I wish I would have handled it a little bit different. Wait, don't laugh, because this is coming next. What I would have said to that question is the same thing I would say to all of you this morning. We're responsible. Yeah. And I mean we. Like, if you're not a parent, that's okay. We're going to walk through what that looks like. You're responsible. Like, we have this conviction, the three of us, that we just can't wash our hands of an entire generation and still exist for the kingdom of God. And so this generation isn't growing up in a vacuum. They're living and leading and trying to follow Jesus in the very same world that you are. And what's unfortunate in some ways is that, well, every generation that's come before them has passed things down to them that they're now stuck with trying to make sense of. And so when I say we are responsible, if you're a generation ahead of them, then you have a part to play in this because you're passing something down to them. And the question we just want to work through this morning is, are you proud of that? Is it helpful? Is it moving the kingdom forward? Is it honoring Jesus? And so we're going to look through 2 Timothy chapter 1 this morning, if you want to join us in the scriptures. Justin's going to read that for us here in a minute, but we just want to throw out kind of two lenses, just things we're going to view our time together through and hope that you see it as we see it in the way that Paul writes his letter. The first thing that I just want to throw out there for your consideration, personalize it, internalize it, is this. Everyone's passing something down. We're going to see that this morning. Everybody's passing something down. So if you internalize it, what are you passing down? When you look at your life, what you're leaving, what are you passing down to the next generation? The other thing that we're going to look at this morning is what are you doing with what's been passed down? You have both responsible for giving and stewarding what you have received this morning. So, Justin, why don't you just read for us 2 Timothy chapter 1.
Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience. I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with great joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure it dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Before we jump into this conversation today, I think it's really important that we get some background on it. See, the Apostle Paul is writing this letter to Timothy from prison. Now, Timothy and Paul, they have this really special relationship. You could look at it kind of like a mentor or a favorite teacher or even like that kid in the neighborhood that's become part of your family. We see that in verse 2 when Paul calls Timothy a beloved child. We see it again when Paul says that it would bring him great joy to see Timothy. And then we see it from Timothy's side when Paul says that his current situation is bringing Timothy to tears. So as we get ready to jump back into the conversation about what you're passing down, let's take a look at verses 3-5 and see what we got there.
Yeah, when I think about the question, what are you passing down in the context of this scripture, I think of something that we honestly believe it, as a core value of who we are as a student ministry team. And that is the thing that the parents, you are the primary disciplers of your children. And we take that very seriously, and we know and we see in this passage that Paul specifically points out that Timothy's grandmother passed it to his mom, and his mom passed it down to him. And so you see this line of faith passed down through the generations, and we truly believe that parents have that responsibility to do that. But we also know that we can do the best that we possibly can as parents, and we need other people to step in alongside of us. And that's where you see the relationship that Paul had with Timothy. And we see that was probably even a necessary thing to help Timothy make it through. And so we just want you to know as a student ministry team that we want to be that for you guys. We want to provide that for you guys and come alongside of you, and that you're not in this alone as we figure out how to shepherd this next generation. Because ultimately, We know very well that there are also lots of students, especially on Wednesday nights and Sunday nights, that walk in our building that don't have parents that are in their lives passing down faith, who we never actually get to see their parents at all. And so we recognize the need for people like the Pauls in people's life. And you notice that in our building today, right now. If you walk back into either side of our building where our elementary and early childhood are going on, you will see multiple people serving alongside of us in our ministries, pouring into the lives of students, because we recognize that that is an important aspect to have in the lives of students. You will notice on a Wednesday night or a Sunday night or even throughout the week that our sponsors that we have working with us along our junior high and senior high ministry people are needed in the lives of students, and we believe wholeheartedly in that. And one of the awesome ways that we as a team get to partner along with our sponsors in this journey is by going on our summer trips. And our sponsors, our volunteers, they give up lots of hours throughout the week, but they also give up time during their summer to come with us on trips like this one, which is our Element trip that we took this summer. So we just want you guys to check out this video really quick.
We're coming out here to get closer to God and also have fun. There's a lot of cool activities that we can do and meet new people, interact, make new friends, and push ourselves.
We've been doing group initiatives, which has really like helped us like learn how to work with other people. We're learning more about God. We're getting closer to our friends and meeting new people and just challenging ourselves and being out of our element.
So it's kind of pushing you mentally and physically, but it definitely makes you stronger.
It was really challenging when we were doing the high ropes course because in the beginning I thought I wasn't going to be scared and I thought I had it. And then I got on and I realized that I was really high up and it was really scary for me.
By overcoming my fears and rock climbing, it gave me confidence in myself that I can push through my fears, and it's made me stronger mentally.
I felt really glad that I did it, and I felt a little bit braver and just very like happy with myself that I did it.
When I push myself through a challenge, I feel very energetic, very ready to do it again.
Element is a camp where you come to get closer to God.
Some of the things we do here at camp to just push ourselves in our faith is we have these small groups and we all get together, we share.
You're able to connect on a personal scale.
You're gonna get like really close to God, and it helps you not with only like your spiritual life, but with like outside of all that.
It's a great experience. I would definitely come back every year.
You should come, and it would be so much fun. You'd have the greatest time.
It's going to be uncomfortable, but it's an amazing experience. It's so worth it.
Yeah, so that's what Element looks like. We're just excited to share that with you. My favorite part of that video is hands down when Will, one of our juniors, is explaining how uncomfortable Element's going to be, and then your face like barely peaks over that cliff.
It's
and you
terrifying.
Just really, you sold it. It's uncomfortable, you know?
That was real.
But what you did, I mean, what hopefully you noticed is our sponsors don't just sit back and coach people how to go through a high ropes course while they're standing on the ground. They would love to do that, but we don't let them do that. And they don't stand along the riverbank and coach our students how to navigate white water. They're in the raft with them, and they're on the ropes course with them, and they're doing all of those things alongside one another because there are some things about discipling people that it just naturally you catch things more than you pick up a teaching. And like that's not a super spiritual thing. If you're a parent, you're like, yeah, I know, I get that. You know what I mean? Or if you're not a parent, look at how you were raised, who raised you and who's influenced you. We catch a whole lot more than maybe what's been taught to us. And so just the next time that your spouse calls you your parent's name in the middle of an argument, like you know that you're acting like or you've caught something from them or, well, you're pretty good at teaching your daughter stuff.
Yeah.
There's one story that I think you just need to share because it can both be funny and then we'll touch on the serious side of it in a second.
Yeah, sure. So there's a lot of things that I could probably go to at this point. My daughter's only one. So
yeah, long road.
That's great. But there's this one particular thing, and I don't know why I do this, but I tend to add the word but to the end of like what we call her. It's like her name's Tatum, but like I call her Tater sometimes, and we call her Tater Butt. And I'm like, okay, that's cool. But one of the first words that she learned was bubble. So, of course, I'm like, all right, bubble butt. And immediately she goes, bubble butt? And I'm like, oh, no. So, no. So if my daughter ever says bubble butt to you, she is not making fun of you in any way, shape, or form. It is my fault that I taught her that. So, yeah, that's just one of those things. Yeah.
Did you even look at Libby?
No, I tried not to. Not good.
Probably wise. Yeah. But that's maybe one of those funnier examples. Parents, you know, when like you just look at your kid and you're just like, where did you learn? Like, you got that from me. But look back again, just in verses 3-5. Here's what Paul says. I serve God, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, day and night. And that's true. We can look back at Paul, and we can look back at the stories that God wrote through the history of his people in Israel. And there was a lot of times that they got it right. And there's a lot of times that not only were they talking about God and sharing faith, but they were living like what they were talking about is who they were and what they believed. But we don't have time to get into this. It's just an example from 2 Kings 23. There was a lot of times when they didn't get it right. There's a lot of times that they just stopped talking and stopped living. And in 2 Kings 23, there's a young king by the name of Josiah that at 8 years old assumes the throne of Israel at eight. And they go to work at the temple where the people of God would go to worship. And everybody in the nation was surprised that they actually found the word of God like tucked away in the temple. It had been neglected for a generation. And so we recognize and begin to understand that we're all passing something down. And are you and I being intentional with what that is? Because the next generation is paying attention. They are watching all of you, whether that is immediately blood family or just the students that run in this place. Like, we have a responsibility to shepherd and invest and encourage the next generation. And so, Justin, what does it look like in a practical sense to just be intentional? There's people on here that do that and do it well. So talk us through kind of just what that might look like.
Yeah, so we have a couple that's been serving back in elementary ministry for a really long time. And they came to Embark with us 1 year, which is our 3rd through 5th grade camp. And like most camps, we have rec day, and we go through a cycle of rec games. And this particular day happened to be water day. And so we decided it was going to be an awesome idea to make a slip and slide, which you can imagine went off like a champ. You know, it was great. And so there comes this magical point in the afternoon where all the kids are done on the slip and slide, and they're ready to have their sponsors go down the slip and slide. And so they start picking out leaders to see who can go the fastest, the farthest. And this guy, who's in his mid-60s, gets nominated to go down the water slide. And you would think that he would be like, yeah, no way, I'm not doing that. But instantly, he was like, oh, I'm down. I'm going to go down this water slide. And let me tell you, he did not win any awards that day. He did not make it the farthest. He did not go the fastest.
How far did you go?
I mean, maybe 2 feet.
Okay.
Yeah. Best belly flop
by far. It was a great belly flop. But So he was willing to just sell out for these kids. And what was awesome was, even though he didn't win the awards, he did win their hearts that day. And so when he comes back to teach in the garage every fourth Sunday, then he is able to speak into these kids' lives and able to pass on something much greater. And so he and his wife do just this great job of passing on what's been given to them.
Yeah. I mean, and they've invested foster care. They host high school small groups. They'll even host junior high events.
It's pretty sketchy.
It is. Yeah. But I mean, like, getting you to realize is shepherding and investing in the next generation can look different. And it can look maybe different than what you thought maybe in the past that it would have to take or consider what it looks like to invest. And so if you would, let's jump to this other question about, you know, what are you doing with what's been passed down to you? So I just want to reread verses 6 and 7 real quick so we can try to wrap our heads around it. It says in verse 6, for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. So that's what I want you to catch here. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. It is so easy to live our life, to parent out of, to serve out of, to give out of, to lead out of, and love out of a spirit of fear. It's so easy today. Yeah. Just to be afraid. And that, I know, Jason, even for you, man, that hits different because, I mean, you've read it 100 times before, but being a dad, that lands different now.
Absolutely. And this is why this conversation has been a really good conversation with me. The more that we dig into this conversation, the more it really does hit home for me, because I think about the questions, what are you passing down and what's been passed down and what am I doing with that? And I look at my daughter who's one, and it terrifies me already in a lot of ways. And it does, because I work with students all the time. And, you know, as an example, just a couple weeks ago, I sat in the behavioral center with a 12-year-old girl, and I had this conversation about all the fears and the anxieties and the stuff that she's struggling with. And it just breaks my heart to sit in those conversations. And then I walk home, and I look at my daughter, and I'm like, oh, my goodness. How can I protect my daughter from all of these things that are going to come at her? And how do I do this? And I'm terrified for her in that moment. But then I have to come back to things like this. And I have to come back to realize that I cannot parent my daughter out of fear. And it's something that a good friend of ours said to us once. I just want to read this because I think it's truly just great for parents out there to listen to. And it's this: don't parent out of the greatest fears you have for your children. Parent out of the greatest hopes that you have for them.
That's good.
And I think that translates to all of us. Don't live out of the greatest fears that you have. Live out of the greatest hopes that you want to accomplish in this life. But as a dad, it really hits home for me as we wrestle through this text.
Yeah. So just to remind us what Paul reminds us, you've been given a spirit of power, of love, and of self-control. So how am I stewarding what's been given to us? That's the gift that God has given every one of his children, is his power and presence in their life. And so I just want to run through those three things real quick as kind of just a soul check moment for you and I. These are some of the things that I ask myself when I encounter scriptures like this, specifically living out of a spirit of power. What does that look like? How do you and I do that on a daily basis? Typically, I'll speak for myself, but I do see that it just in the friends that I have and the people that I'm close to, we tend to approach it in two extremes, I think. There's either this extreme over here on one side that is, I'm going to go do everything in my own power. The biblical word for that is striving. I'm going to go and I'm going to control, I'm going to create, I'm going to change, I'm going to do all of it in my own power. I'm going to save my marriage. I'm going to save my kids. I'm going to save my family. I'm going to do all of it in my own power. On the other side of this conversation is, God, you just go do it. Like, I don't want any part. You just go, you will fix it. You go change it. So somewhere in the middle of those two extremes is what's called living out of the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of God. And so here's what I ask myself. When I just kind of soul check, am I living out of the power of God? God, what are you and I going to go do together today? What are you and I going to go do together today? Because it's a partnership. And that's what living out of the Spirit and the power of God looks like. It's not going and doing all on your own. And it's not just washing your hands of and saying, you do it. It's, God, what are you and I going to go do together today? And when we live that, breathe that, then that changes the way that we pray. Changes the way that we give, changes the way that we believe, the way that we serve. God, what are you and I going to do together today? The second thing that Paul says you and I have, it's not a spirit of fear, but it's a spirit of love. It's probably the one that's easy to remind, because like, if the Spirit of God is in you, then you have this recognition of the love that God has for you to begin with, yeah? Like, you didn't deserve that Spirit. That was given freely to you by the grace that comes from knowing Jesus. So the fact that it's in you to begin with should remind you of the love that God has for you. And if you're thinking about the love that God has for you, would that change the way that you view other people and how you love them? Just so we're clear, the way that you interact, teach, think, forgive, love, serve people, that's how your student is going to think, teach, love, serve people. You've been given a spirit of love that exists in us, and understanding love that God has for you, man, that really, as John writes in his letter, that casts out fear. that perfect love that God has for us. And the last thing, just to help filter the spirit of self-control. Of course, I get stuck with this one too. Spirit of self-control. Here's what I like to ask myself as a gauge. Maybe this is helpful for you and your relationship, but just what are you doing with the grace that's been given you? I mean, what are you doing with the grace that's been given you? Are you waking up in the morning? Am I waking up in the morning going, Jesus, today is about relying on your power to live a life that which you say is right, true, and good for me? And then it's difficult. We get it. We understand that it's difficult. And that's why Paul says to Timothy and uses that language, fan into flame. It's that image of maybe a translation you use is stir. But it's this picture of dying embers or coals that you would poke or add oxygen to reignite or to rekindle what's dying out. And so this morning, we're just curious of what stuff are you tending to? What are you doing with what's been passed down to you? Are you addressing, are you looking at, are you leaning into the idea of the spirit of power, love, and self-control? And are you fanning that into flame? Are you stirring that up? Because you can't give away what you don't have. And if we're going to invest in the next generation, then all of us need to tend to those things in our life well, because that's the kind of stuff that gets caught. And so, Justin, walk us through just a little bit of maybe some things we can sink our teeth into as we get ready to wrap up.
So we've been kind of walking through this conversation about what am I passing on and what am I doing with what's been passed on to me. I just want to encourage you guys and challenge you a little bit. Maybe some of us in this room today need to change our mind about what we think about the next generation. Like Stephen said earlier, it can be so easy to just say, whose fault is this? It's your fault to point fingers. But really, it's our fault. We are responsible. And as the body of Christ, we need to come together to impact this next generation. So maybe today we need to, when the next generation frustrates us or confuses us with whatever new trend they have, or whenever they just miss the mark, that we need to stop, think, and repent about the way we view them. Maybe for some of us in the room, we need to change our mind about who we think the next generation is. It can be so easy to just get caught up and think the next generation is just in our world, that they're babies, that they're kids. But really, the next generation is someone to everyone, right? Anybody who comes behind you is the next generation. So anytime you jump into a conversation with a student, when you come alongside a family and shepherd them through a tough time, when you're praying for marriages and families that are just really going through the ringer, you are impacting the next generation. Some of us in here have been gifted by God and have a ton of resources. Maybe today you would consider scholarshiping a student to go on a trip like Element or Emerge or Embark, right? Some kids don't have the ability to go. Maybe it's a student that you know personally. Maybe it's someone that you don't. Maybe some of you are sitting in this room going like, there's no way I'm rock climbing or going whitewater rafting. And that's okay. You guys can go out to the booth and sponsor a sponsor that will go with them and walk that journey with them. Mm-hmm. I know it can be really, really tough to figure out where to start, but the one thing we can all do is start by praying. So would you guys pray with me today? God, we're so thankful just for this morning. We're thankful for this conversation around the next generation. Father, would you help us repent where we need to and see this generation like you do? Father, would you open our eyes to all the generations that need shepherding and need love and help us do that for them? God, and with our resources, we pray that you would help us to be generous and that we would be good stewards of what you have given us. Father, we're just grateful for the legacy that has been left to us, and we pray that you would help us to pass that legacy on to those that come behind us. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Truth is, we have, I think, done well in shepherding and investing in the next generation. There are hundreds of students who we've impacted over the years, and we could stand up here on their behalf and say thank you, but why not let them do it for themselves? So we have this video of students who've recently kind of been launched from this place and are investing in ministry and leading the next generation wherever they are. And so they just wanted to say thanks. But also before we watch that, one of our students who is finishing up his junior year in Bible college is going to wrap the video up for us as well as lead us in communion. So if you want to get that ready as the video begins to play, that goes for not just our Weston family, but to our EastEnders and our online. Go ahead and get ready and we'll all be able to take that together here. Cool? All right.
Hey MPCC, my name is Marley Pfeiffer and I am currently located in Lincoln, Illinois. I just graduated from the undergraduate program at LCU and I'm currently in my first semester at Lincoln Christian Seminary. Over the past 4 years, I have been so thankful for the time and encouragement and love that Madison Park Student Ministries had invested in me when I was living in Quincy. I have carried those relationships and that love with me all 4 years of college, and I know that it will benefit me for the rest of my life. I've also been thankful that Madison Park has supported me financially. It has been a huge help over the past few years, and I'm just so thankful. So thank you, Madison Park, for investing intentionally in students over the years.
Hello, Madison Park family. My name is Megan Lee, and I'm doing campus ministry in Bloomington Normal. God used the student ministry trips at Madison Park to build my confidence in sharing my testimony, and that is a big part of what I do now. Madison Park continues to support me as I step into full-time ministry in Bloomington Normal. I believe that student ministry at Madison Park has set me up well for what I do. Thank you, Madison Park, for your investment in the next generation.
Hello, Madison Park family. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Morgan Hill, and I had the honor of growing up in Madison Park and now work for Hill City Church in Springfield, Missouri. My specific job is with college students and equipping student leaders to then be sent out to go expand the kingdom of God. And I can confidently say that if it weren't for your guys' support and your foundation that you gave me growing up in my own walk with the Lord, that I would not be where I'm at today. So for that, I say thank you, Madison Park, for your investment in the next generation.
Hey, Madison Park. My name is Casey Cox, and I'm currently a junior at Belmont University in Nashville, Tennessee. I'm studying theology and ministry. One of the reasons that I'm thankful for Madison Park is your commitment to loving people from all walks of life. If you know a little bit about me, you know that I came to Madison Park when I was in high school. You probably also know the person that I was at the time and the burdens that I carried. I mean, just ask Stephen. I'm sure I wasn't always easy to love. But because of your commitment to loving people the same way that Jesus loved them, I was able to learn what it meant to be loved by God. I was able to learn that faith that you have. And so our conversation has been all about thankfulness through the generations. Now, Paul's ancestors, they were committed to serving God. And they were thankful for all the work that he was doing in their life. And so they passed this faith down, this thankfulness down to their children, and from their children to their children, and through generations of families and friends, this faith found its way to you. And because of your commitment to serving God, this faith found its way to me. But what is it that we're thankful for? What is it that we have faith in? Well, that's of a God that came to us, a God that walked this earth and lived for us. It's of a God that came to the cross and died for us. And now, church, I want to invite you to share this time of communion with me. As we remember what it is that we have our faith in and what it is that we are thankful for, even 7 hours away, we can still partake in the kingdom of God together. So I invite you to take the bread, the body that was broken for us and our children and their children and the generations to come. It is in remembrance of that that we eat. And then we take the cup. The cup of the blood that was poured out for the sins of the many. The blood that frees us of the burdens that we carry. The blood that washes us clean. It is in remembrance of Jesus Christ that we drink. Madison Park, thank you for your investment in the next generation.